place, you notice this is called Ha'aretz. This is the land, and everywhere else it's called Chutzlaretz, outside of this land. And when we speak about any land other than land Israel, we say there's Tumat El Tamin, there's Tumat Chutzlaretz. A Kohen shouldn't really be leading Israel home to Chutzlaretz. Non-Jews bury their dead everywhere. You don't know where there's someone and where there isn't. So that's why we say that any place in Chutzlaretz is Tameh, legally, halachically. And Eretz Yisrael is a place of holiness. Not learning halach here. It's the concept, the halachic concept that there is. We treat all Chutzlaretz as Tumah. And then we come to the land of Israel and we start one level of holiness. Then the walled cities were given another level of holiness in the land of Israel. We know that a person was a mitzvah, he had tzaraat, he couldn't stay inside a walled city. The walled cities have another level of holiness. And we have levels of holiness going up to Jerusalem, going up to inside the city, going up to finally we get to right out there. You guys, that's why I chose this classroom over the other one. You could look out onto the Temple Mountain. When we finish tonight, we'll go down to the Beit Midrash. You'll see the ark in the Beit Midrash. There are glass windows next to it, and you could literally look out over onto the Beit Midrash, onto the place of the Beit Midrash. So it's a big shkut, and people dreamt of coming here. The Gra spent much of his life dreaming, preparing. Finally, he left his wife. He left her a letter. He started coming, and he never made it. And we just hop on a plane, and we're here. And we're not only here; we're here at the Kotel. We got the land, and we didn't get the Kotel, and now we have the Kotel. The Kotel is the wall that we have a promise is going to stay erect. There's a medrash that says that David HaMelech finished his wars. He came, the Navi says, he came to Nathan HaNavi and he said, I want to go play some English. So Nathan said, go ahead, go for it. That night, Hashem showed up to Nathan and he said, you know, David, I know him, he's quick. He's going to do something right away. If you don't get over to him right now and tell him that I said he shouldn't build the Beit HaMikdash, then he's liable to take a vow that he'll do it by such and such a date. He's liable to take a vow that such and such of his wealth is for the temple. He's liable to build it all before you make it to him. Go over there now, the middle of the night, and tell David he's not to do it. Now we know that whatever Moshe built with his own hand, so that was never conquered by the enemies. The Mishkan, we know, was hidden. We know that the Aron was hidden. That when the enemies destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't find parts of what Moshe Rabbeinu built. And by the same token, Nathan HaNavi comes to David and he says, David, Hashem says you shouldn't do it. That your son will build the Beit HaMikdash, but you won many wars, but you spilled blood, and the Beit HaMikdash is a place of peace. You're not the one to build the Beit HaMikdash. So here the Midrash has a few opinions. What did David HaMelech do by that time? One opinion says that David had already laid the foundation. Between the time he spoke to Nathan and that night, he'd already gotten all the workers together, got the builders, everyone was already preparing, the foundations were set already. Another opinion in the Midrash says that he built that wall. That the Kotel HaMa'arovi was already up. By the time Nathan came to him that night, David said, I got one wall up. And Nathan said, okay, stop. God says, you're not supposed to be the one to build it. Your son's going to do it. Shlomo took many years to build it. But David was quick. And between the time he spoke to Nathan and that night, the Midrash says, according to one understanding, he got that wall up. And that's why when everything else was destroyed, and they plowed down Har HaBayis, that wall stayed. No one knows why. There's a similar story, which is said about a few of the sages, on Har HaZeitun, when it wasn't under our reign, so the Syrians brought tractors. They tried to destroy the graves that were there. And there are stories about a few sages. The story is told about a few. That the tractor came to that grave and it turned over. So they set it up straight and again, they brought the tractor forward and again it turned over. And after 3-4 times they gave up. They realized there's a message here. It's also told about the shul of the Maharal. The Maharal in Prague. Everyone knows all the tales that at the attic of his shul, he put together a few great sages and they created the golem. They created some being. We have a tradition from the time of Adam HaRishon that Hashem gave Adam HaRishon a secret book, which we still have, just no one knows exactly what it means. A book called Sefer HaYetzirah, which describes how you create a human being. You want to create a human, want to give light to some mud. So we have a book that God gave Adam Rishon that says how you do it. But no one knows how to use that book. High levels of Kabbalah. Rav Dadigon wrote an explanation on it. Many others did. But you start the book, it enumerates different types of wind and what are the 10 fingers on man's hands, 10 fingers on his feet, and starts enumerating all kinds of levels of holiness, and who knows what it's talking about, 10 levels in the clouds and the sky. Yeah?
Didn't someone create the golem?
So they say that the Maharal, who was a contemporary of the Ramon, he lived at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramon and Shulchan Aruch lived approximately at the same time, the Moshe Yisraelis, who lived in Krakow, and the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, who compiled the Shulchan Aruch, the Codex, who lived in Israel, who was also a contemporary of the Arizal. These were all the same generation. Arizal, Rav Yosef Karo, the Ramar, Moshe Yisraelis, and the Maharal Miprag. The Maharal's brother was the Ramar's Chavrusa. They learned together in Yeshiva. The Maharal had a brother named Chaim, and he learned Chavrusa with the Ramar. They learned in the same Yeshiva. So the Maharal, they say, he put together a golem. There are many, many stories. We don't have any basis, really, historically, to know whether it really happened or didn't. But what we do know is that many times there were pogroms in Prague, and even when the Nazis came and wanted to destroy the shul, they wanted to go up into the attic. And each time, people ran back down. They couldn't go back up. And we don't know why, but that's something we do know. The shul is still standing in Prague. Every other shul is destroyed by the Nazis, and that shul for some reason is still there. So that sort of gives a little bit of support to some of the agadot that we have. But these are examples of things that occurred in the last few hundreds of years, that our enemies came to destroy something, be it the grave of Tzaddik Manar Zeisim, be it the Maharal shul, and suddenly they were pushed back. And it seems that something similar happened by the Kosel. That even though the rest of Yerushalayim was plowed over, the rest of Har Bayis, the Kosel remains. Yeah.
Well, somebody told us about it. I can see what's in there.
I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't go.
Why not?
I'm a scary cat. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I just wanted to say that I've heard a story of the same temple in Amsterdam with the Portuguese Sango.
Yeah.
The Germans came to them and saw it, and they returned. They didn't do anything. They didn't disrupt anything.
But okay.
Exactly the same happened as it dropped.
Okay. Good to know. I don't know. Okay. Shva. So we have these things in our history, and the wall of the Kosel, the Western Wall, is one thing that's remnant, that remains with us. Now, we had said we would do the parsha tonight. The question is, if you guys have something else, if someone has something pressing that they would rather do once we're here. If not, then the parsha is a loaded parsha. There's a lot of stuff we should really do. So, what? Yeah, Muslims.